We start at the bar, so we're holding on to the bar, and we do a series of exercise in sequential order, you know, pliés, tendus, dégagés. Basically, what you're doing is warming up. It is this kind of moving meditation. My name is Julia Erickson, and I'm a principal dancer with Pittsburgh Ballet Theatre. I am a professional ballerina.
You are much more critical. Like, you look at everything and you say, well, is there another viewpoint? Because you are trained to make arguments for your clients. I have always been, even before I went to law school, I always liked to see both sides of an argument. My name is Sunil Pillai, and I'm an attorney here with Sol Ewing in Pittsburgh.
Ironworkers never call, and this goes with a lot of trades too, they never call the object what the object is. Everything has a slang, everything has a terminology. So you, if you tie rebar, you're a rod buster. My name is Brian McQuaid. I'm a union ironworker, a musician, and I trim trees out of power lines for Duquesne Light.
There's a million characters every single day, someone different. It's just, it's a meeting place, it's a place to commiserate, it's a place to celebrate, and to a lot of people, it's home. I'm Nicole Battle. I am a manager and bartender at Dianoia's Eatery in the Strip District of Pittsburgh.
Hello, I'm Margaret J. Krause.
And I'm Kevin C. Brown.
And you're listening to Still Working, a show about how work shapes who we are and how we see the world.
Our series was inspired by Chicago radio giant Studs Terkel and his book, Working. The subtitle is What People Do All Day and How They Feel About What They Do. That's exactly what we wanted to know for our time and in our region.
Today, a ballerina, a lawyer, an ironworker, and a bartender. Bar work.
Good morning. Come on. I'm not a morning person, but I guess anyone can be trained. We're working in Oakland right now. Later on in the week, we're supposed to go to a bridge where the location is here and yet undisclosed. You don't even really know what you're going to be doing from one day to the next.
I'm not terribly a creature of habit, but it is in ballet a lot about order of operations. So we're rehearsing a bunch of different things right now. Like, I'm rehearsing three different ballets. I'm actually rehearsing four different roles, and you know, it's actually kind of cool and refreshing.
You never know what you're gonna get. It might be a day that everything's just gonna line up perfectly and nothing goes wrong, but that hardly ever happens. So you have to walk in prepared to fix something, change the schedule, deal with reservations that weren't, you know, correct. I like to be busy. I like to be challenged. I like the way it feels when you think that you can't accomplish something and then you do accomplish it.
I'm an engineer by training, and then moved into expert witness work. So in that role, I used to work with attorneys all the time because attorneys are my clients. The attorney is the one who calls the shots. What kind of documents they want to, you know, bring in, you know, what's the arguments they want to make. So that's how I got interested in law and said, well, if I go to law school, I can do what they do. So I don't know, I always like to call the shots, I guess.
So I actually got laid off from trimming trees, and it was time for a change. And I had a buddy that I worked with, and his nephew was an iron worker. I'm like, well, what do iron workers even do? They're like, they build skyscrapers and bridges and do large scale construction projects. And I was like, I can do that.
I started working in restaurants when I was like 15 or 16 years old. There was a restaurant right by my house where I grew up, small town in Massachusetts. This place was like one of those old school restaurants that did like prime rib night with the baked potato. And my first day was horrific. I was, you know, in a kitchen washing dishes with a lot of guys and a lot of yelling. It's really loud. These people are working 12, 14, 15 hour shifts, so they're exhausted. They've been standing all day, they're tired, emotions are high, and it's really messy. There's lots of water and things all over the floor, and a lot of food getting thrown away, and tons of trash everywhere. It's just a lot of moving parts, and I definitely felt like I didn't fit in back there, and I really wanted to get to the front of the house with all the other ladies.
I actually began dancing because six of my friends were taking ballet class on Saturday mornings, and so I decided to join in as the seventh wheel, and they all stopped. I mean, I wasn't like, I'm going to be a dancer. I mean, I kind of fell in love with it when I was about 10, but then I fell out of love with it a few times. It was very hard, and it's just, there's so much pressure as a young child, you know? I mean, you're leaving school early. I got injured and when I was 16, and I thought, oh, I'll definitely go to college. But then I got really back into it when I was about 17, and I deferred from college, and I thought, well, let me just see what happens if I get into a company, and I kind of kept hedging like that, and then it just became kind of totally obvious that I wanted to be a dancer, so I just kept with it. You have to get the job. You have to be good enough for the job to keep excelling. You have to just work your butt off, but you want to, because, I mean, we're so lucky that we get to do something that is just really, truly so satisfying.
So the bar that I'm working in currently, it was designed more like a home bar. We do full coffee service. We have a very small back bar, mostly filled with Italian spirits. And behind that wall is our dish pit and all of our running water. So it's, imagine the loudest kitchen, the sizzling water and chef yelling runner and people, you know, grabbing dishes and slamming them together. That's what you're gonna hear. So you have to be the type of person that wants to really be in the thick of things.
When you sort of go into that robotic autopilot mode of just the physical component of your job, your brain is also allowed to wander. And when I'm locked in something that's kind of mechanical and robotic, like tying rebar, and you're just kind of like doing the same thing over and over again, it does give time for the wheels to turn. And you invent, you know, scenarios, everything from like, oh, I should have said this to that smart aleck at the bar last night, to does America's love affair with capitalism, is that a real and sustainable thing? For me personally, I have to think about that stuff.
When we perform, I mean, that's what it's all about for me, I think. I really get my wings during a performance. You get to flow and do what you've arduously trained for. It's a huge thrill. It's great. And what you're really doing is it's communication between you and the people you're dancing with and the audience. And it's not flat, you know, it really is. I just really feel the audience supporting me, kind of buoying me. So, but I think maybe I'm an adrenaline junkie, I don't know. Time is a really interesting construct when you're talking about it in the context of ballet or dance, because it's like, it is very amorphous. And sometimes you have those moments where it's like, it slows down enough for you to really fully focus and execute.
And your heart is beating so fast, and you have all these people watching you in this like panic state. Not sure if people know what in the weeds means, but it's a term we use in restaurant world where you are so behind and you just feel like you can't catch up. And you know, like, you know that you have 10,000 things to do in a really short amount of time, and everyone's watching you, and you have to be on. You don't want people to see you go down. And I have to remind myself, 10 or 15 minutes, Nicole. It's only 10 or 15 minutes, Nicole. You'll get out of this. It's definitely a performance every night.
I mainly do construction law. So say you're building a power plant, and initially you think it'll take 3 years and, you know, X number of dollars, right? By the time you finish it, say it takes 5 years and it cost X million dollars extra. So there is normally a litigation, like the owner may sue the contractor for X dollars in liquidated damages. And you know, the contractor will join all the subcontractors because he will say, well, you know, it's not my fault, it's, you know, this guy's fault or this guy's fault, right? Though it may start as between two people, it will end up with 7-8 people. That's very normal in a construction litigation. Then you get documents from every person, you have to depose people from each individual company. So it gets pretty long and pretty big pretty fast.
And then when you do get out of it, it's that thing again, that sense of accomplishment where you're like, I did it.
It's an interesting kind of dichotomy of like extreme camaraderie and like a teamwork style thing, but it's like an ego-driven solo act, you know? So, I mean, you are your own artist and you are your own body and being, and so you have to fuel your own fire, essentially. We're all competing for roles, competing for position, rank, for jobs, essentially. I mean, there are so few jobs as compared to how many people are out there and are, like, qualified. We have a seasonal contract, so we collect unemployment when we're not working, which is fine. I mean, it's what it's there for, but we'd all like to be working more.
Ironworking seasonal. You can work the entire year if you want to, if you chase work. But it's nice after a job ends that you made enough money for that job that you can kind of hang out a little bit. If I can divide my time being a working stiff for part of my year and then being a musician the other part of the year, I can navigate and negotiate what I want out of each scenario.
So when I describe to my kids as to what I do on a day-to-day basis, it involves a lot of reading, it involves a lot of writing, nothing that really excites them. Okay. They like to come to my office, they like the view, they like the fact that there is hot chocolate here, so, you know. But yeah, outside of that, no, not that much. My, you know, our office is this side, you know, we are facing the river right now. Other side is facing the PNC Park. That was a big attraction to them. When I had my office on the other side, they were like, oh, you can sit in the office and watch the game and, you know, you have hot chocolate, what else, what do you want, right? But the fact is, you often don't even look out, right? You know, because you're working.
The way that I like to live my life, I just like to know where I'm working, show up, do my job to the best of my abilities, be an asset to my company. And then as soon as it's time to go home, I'm free to the rest of my life. I can focus on music or any of my other hobbies. That to me right now, that's my slice of the American dream. I don't mind going to work, but at the same time, I don't possess the personality that's all I want to do.
Well, out here scream mist in terror at that comedy verse I saw played out in here. You lit that wrong end of a cigarette, and girl, I can only guess. Your phone's pretty screwed after it fell into your beer.
When I started bartending, people didn't know anything about cocktails, including bartenders. We didn't have to make fresh juice. We didn't have to make our own syrups. We didn't use bitters, and we didn't have tinctures. Well, now everybody knows everything about everything, and you have to know. Bartenders are definitely being taken more seriously. I don't get that. What else do you do? Or is this your real job question nearly as much as I used to?
So I got involved in the Asian Attorneys Committee, you know, from the start, from, you know, when I started law school. Then, you know, we tried to be that bridge between the, you know, legal profession and the community, mainly because there is not that many attorneys in the community. So, you know, I go to the temple in Monroeville, I'm probably the only attorney who goes there regularly. So when people have some issues, they talk to me. You know, though that's not my area, I would be able to put them in the, you know, put them in contact with the right person. So it may be regular issues like estate planning or family law issues, a lot of issues around immigration, There is a lot of issues around hate crime. The general atmosphere of, you know, people are a little bit concerned in the minority communities.
I think that the real engine of the world and the way that it operates, unfortunately, is predicated on human contempt. And that if we are able to eliminate that and exercise a little bit of empathy in every aspect of our lives, that things will change.
For the most part, people are great, but you definitely see some of the problems in the world mirrored in the restaurant industry when you see people that are worrying about things that aren't things to worry about. There are things in the world to worry about that are real problems, and waiting for a cappuccino for 15 minutes is not a problem. You're going to get a cappuccino, and it's a cappuccino. Like, you can afford a cappuccino. There are people in this world who can't afford a cappuccino. You do realize that, right? One of the biggest things I worry about is class division and racism. From just being in the restaurant, you see it every day. After 20 years of doing this, I don't see as diverse of a group of people in my restaurants often enough as I'd like to.
My regular boots are kind of falling apart, and even my backup boots are falling apart.
Hi, buddy. You gonna be good while I'm gone? Gonna chew on lots of bones and stuff. Hang out. Okay.
Still Working is Margaret J. Krause and me, Kevin C. Brown, with funding help from the A.W. Mellon Educational and Charitable Trust Fund of the Pittsburgh Foundation. For more information, to hear other stories throughout the month, see photos, and subscribe to our iTunes podcast feed, visit wesa.fm/stillworking.
Next time, people who care, professionally. Thanks for listening to Still Working.